Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Kabasa, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Good. Thank you. I'm doing great, Pastor. Our question for today is, why are some books excluded from the Bible, like the Apocrypha?
Well, that is a very, It is something a lot of people are interested in, and there are people who specialize only in things like these. There are several reasons. I guess the basic is that many of those books were not written by the people.
Right.
They claim to be written.
Okay.
So we know that there were people in the first century who wrote several gospels and several books and placed the names of people who walked with Jesus, interacted with Jesus, like there's a Gospel of Mary and other books.
Right.
But we know that these people never wrote. And we know that Christians in the first century, who historians and other influential Christians and other influential figures who read the books of Matthew and Mark,
right,
like Flavius Josephus, who for many is like one of the best historians. Some put him in the top 10, top 3.
Right.
He also makes references to certain writings that were not written by the people who claim to have written them. So this is one of the reasons for some of them why they are out. This is one of them. I'll pass it over to you, and
right,
I can go into other details.
So when we are saying they were not, are we suggesting, for example, the writers like Baruch, who was a scribe, could not have been the reason why they were not necessarily written by the people whose name appear on the actual parchment?
I didn't get that. Could you repeat that? Sorry.
We have a scribe who is known to have been the penman for one of the prophets. And I am suggesting that when we are saying the prophet did not himself write the text, are we not perhaps suggesting that because he didn't write it personally, it was written by Baruch in this case, or any other scribe, therefore that book was excluded? And I'm asking in the context of, are we saying literal penmanship as in him holding the pen, or they didn't even receive inspiration?
Well, there are several ways to look at it. So many of these books, they contradict what authors or information we find in books that we know were written by people who walked with Jesus.
Mm.
They are theological disagreements. And sometimes the picture that they present of God is in stark contradiction to what we already know to be true,
right,
about God. Like things that have to do with the character of God. In some of them, like the third book of Enoch, where you have God cursing, and cursing not in the sense of what we actually find in some books where God says, "Cursed are ye because of that," but cursed in terms of foul language.
Yeah.
And so they are removed. So some of them, I can't recall one particular event. I think God curses an angel, or gets into a fight or an argument with an angel.
Right.
That sounds like things human beings do and get into.
Okay.
And when we look at these books in detail, we find these things, and I mean, it's just clear that, hey, this is something else.
So the standard is, what is the standard of determining that this could not have been God? Is it human sensibilities? Surely when we speak of scripture, there must be the intervention of the Spirit that would dictate what is and what is not from him as the Spirit.
Look, so okay, for example, for Baruch, one of the main criticism is its historical reliability. And Martin Luther, the reformer, he pointed these things out, that historically it is not accurate. And it's the similar thing we actually, I mean, just for the sake of sharing this, that we find with the Al-Quran. Historically, it's not reliable. And Martin Luther goes on record saying that the writings of Baruch or the is a bit too skimpy. And so the historical reliability is one of the easiest ways to discard some of these books.
Okay. And so when we are saying they were excluded is because they were not reliable. Is that the only reason? Could you give us some more reasons? You said that's one of them. Share with us other reasons.
So in terms of theology, in terms of historicity, and these are major issues in terms of how some of them present the character of God. I mean, these are major issues. Because when we look in the Bible, the overall narrative is to present the plan of salvation in the context of planet Earth. And the plan of salvation in the context of planet Earth, you find certain glimpses of heaven and how sin comes in and how sin is to be eradicated. The character of God is a fundamental element. It's very central to this conflict. That Adventists, we Adventists call the Great Controversy. And even when you look at Protestant denominations, this conflict that is going to end very soon with the second coming of Jesus Christ, the character of God, the character of Christ is fundamental. And in these books, we see descriptions of God that we don't recognize. They look a lot similar to the deities we find, like in the Enuma Elish, and other in pagan mythological religions, where the gods get drunk, where the gods get tired, where the gods curse, where the gods are careless, and where you can clearly see that historically these stories have been made up. They're not historically are reliable and accurate. And these are major things, because the biblical authors, they refer to historical events, historical places, and the authors interact historically. They seek to be reliable, like in the time of Herod and this and that, and they seek to chronologically present the event. And with these other documents, all of these things are, I mean, they're just something else, something else.
So Baruch is known to be Jeremiah's scribe. We are told that Jeremiah did not write with his own hand. He had a scribe, and Baruch was his scribe. Why is it that Baruch's writing is accepted when it is attributed to the prophet Jeremiah, but his own writings are relegated to the stage or to the books of the Apocrypha?
Well, for Baruch, when we look at Jeremiah, we know that Jeremiah worked with him. We even see in the text, we also see that the book of Jeremiah is aligned, for example, with the book of Daniel. And the book of Daniel is a well-documented, well-studied book. Flavius Josephus, he mentions he lived from 37 to 100 AD, and he says that when he started reading literature, he had already discovered that many people had been reading the book of Daniel. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning this is that when we look at the book of Jeremiah, Jesus quotes, makes mention of element in there. And then you have also Daniel making references to that book. You have Jeremiah being mentioned in other books, and you have this connection, historical. You place him in a historical setting before the invasion of Israel, and where Nebuchadnezzar and all of these things, Jeremiah is in that period and is mentioned outside of his book. And so the mentioning of Baruch, it's not that the book was fully written by him. He was used to write certain parts of it. He may have written all of it for what we know. Now, but when we look at Baruch, it seems that someone wrote it and placed his name on it and calls it the Book of Baruch. Why? Because unlike the Book of Jeremiah, that Baruch actually had a part in, it is a book where we can cross-reference and we can verify certain things in the book through other books, and the information in it, like the 70 years, which is also used by Daniel, and Daniel studied and discovered that they had to return in 70 years. Where did he find that? He found that in Jeremiah. That is where you find all these elements, and chapter 29 of Jeremiah also. So we have a way of looking at the book of Jeremiah and saying, besides us believing that this was inspired, that Jeremiah was a prophet that was used by God pre-exilic, exilic, and we know that Isaiah came, he substituted Isaiah. We can't do that with Baruch. And plus, we find historically and certain elements there that don't fit, and so we put that aside for the sake. So this is one of the reasons.
I hear you. I hear you. Pastor, we'll dwell more on this at a different time, but we are grateful that you've given us this time and your insights are always insightful, always helpful. Thank you very much for your time, Funis. Have a wonderful day today and a blessed Sabbath tomorrow.
Thank you so much. Blessings to you too. Always a pleasure participating with you, my brother.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.